Let's go back to the beginning and we'll translate. A song of 100 names of Kali. The respected eternal consciousness of infinite goodness said, "Listen, O goddess, revered by the world, to this song excellent among all songs, which, when recited or listened to, becomes the supreme lord of all attainment. It removes bad fortune, bestows comfort and wealth, takes away untimely death, and annihilates all obstacles. The respected foremost goddess, she who takes away the darkness, is the cause of the presence of happiness. O goddess of goodness, by the grace of this song of praise, one's being becomes merged into the supreme consciousness which dwells in the three places." Remember the gross body, the subtle body, the causal body, sthula sharir, sukshma sharir, karan sharir. This supreme consciousness is residing. The seer of the divine song is the goddess herself. For the delight of the consciousness of infinite goodness, the meter is anushtup chanda, 32 syllables to the verse, and it is in praise of the foremost, she who takes away the darkness. For the purpose of attaining perfection in the ideals of perfection, the fulfillment of desires in procuring the requisite material necessities and liberation, otherwise known as self-realization, this recitation is being performed. Dharma, artha, kama, moksha, the four objectives of manifesting in a body, we're going to sing this song to fulfill the ideal of perfection, to get that amount of material necessities necessary to fulfill the ideal, to be free from all negative desires, and to achieve realization or self-realization or liberation. Ring Kali, she who is all of Maya, what can be perceived through the senses, conceived in the mind, and known through intuition and beyond, she who takes away the darkness. She who gives increase of perfect respect. She who is formidable, and she who is the cause of the dissolution of the subtle body into the causal body. That's losing your mind into intuitive experience. All your mind dissolves into intuition, into meditation. She who manifests all qualities. She who is the lotus one. She who destroys the pride of the age of darkness. She who gives grace to the one of matted hair, she gives grace to Shiva. There are some others of matted hair, but specifically they're speaking of Shiva. She who is the cause of taking away the darkness, she who is the mother of time, and she who is as radiant as the fires of time. She who wears matted hair, she who has a gaping mouth, she who is the ocean of the nectar of compassion. She who is the manifestation of grace, she who is the supporter of grace, she who is beyond grace, she who moves in grace, she who is beyond all grace. Remember, grace is kripa. Kri means do, and pa means get. What you do is what you're going to get, and that's the grace. Once you understand the law of karma, as you sow, so shall you reap. Once you understand, you're going to sow the right seeds to get the fruits that you desire. And that's the grace. She who is the giver of nourishment, or a cow. She who is black, the doer of all, or unknowable. She who is the distributor of the bliss of the doer of all. She who is the dark night of overcoming egotism. She who is the form of desire. She who cuts the bondage of desire. She who is like a dark cloud. She who supports all qualities. She who destroys the evils of the age of darkness. She who loves the worship of the ever-pure one. She who is the time of worship of the ever-pure one. She who is the bliss of feeding the ever-pure one. She who wears the form of the ever-pure one. She who roams in the forest of kadamba trees. She who dwells in the forest of kadamba trees. She who is satisfied with the flowers of kadamba trees. She who wears a garland of the flowers of kadamba trees. She who is young. She whose throat is dark. And she who is the disseminator of the subtle vibrations of darkness. She who drinks the nectar of the kadamba fruit. And she who enjoys the nectar of the kadamba fruit. She who holds a bowl made of skull. She who wears a garland of skulls. Remember, she's taken all the personifications of all the negativities that we have. She's taken all our karma to herself. She makes a garland of all the voices that are chattering inside the mind. makes us quite silent inside. Takes all the negativities away and takes it to herself. She who is pleased to sit on the lotus flower, she who sits on the seed of the lotus flower, she who is established in the middle space of the lotus, she who is intoxicated from the intoxication of the lotus, she who moves with the gait of a black swan, she who is the destroyer of iniquity, she who is the intrinsic nature of desire, she whose desire is the form of desire, she who reposes in the center of worship of desire, she who is desired, she who is all desires, she who is the manifestation of that which is desired, she who is pleased with the quality of tenderness, she who has tender limbs, she who has a slender waist, she who is the cause of the nectar of satisfaction, she who is the cause of giving the perfect attainment of bliss, she who is the cause of the bliss of recitation, she who is the cause of the delight from offering, she who is the cause of moving in waves or cycles, she who is the cause of protecting vows, she who gives the intoxicating scent of musk to the deer, she who is the shining tilak of musk, she who rejoices in the worship with musk, she who is the beloved of the worship with musk, she who is the mother of the radiance of musk, she who delights deer with musk, she who loves food cooked with musk, she who becomes extremely pleased from the offering of camphor, she who displays a garland covered by camphor, she who enjoys sandalwood mixed with camphor, she who gives laws of joy with camphor, she who drinks the nectar with camphor, she who bathes in the ocean of camphor, she who dissolves in the ocean of camphor, she who loves recitation of the Kurcha Bija mantra HUM, she who always recites the Kurcha Bija mantra HUM, she who is of excellent family, she who is adorned by practitioners of Kulachar. Remember the behavior of excellence, or the behavior of the unity of the family. She who is the cause of love to the practitioners of Kulachar, the behavior of excellence. She who is the behavior of excellence. She who is the joyous one. She who illuminates the path to excellence. She who is the supreme divinity of Kashi. Kashipuradishwari, that's the name of Annapurna. She who takes away all difficulties. She who gives blessings to Shiva, the lord of Kashi, she who causes the male lord to become intoxicated, she who is the beauty of the lord of Kashi, she who moves swiftly to remove darkness, she who has tinkling bells at her girdle, she who dwells in the mountains of gold, she who displays radiant wealth on the top of her cloth, she who is the bliss of recitation of the Bija mantra of desire, Krim. She who is the intrinsic nature of the Bija mantra of desire, Krim. She who destroys the bad thoughts of the worshipper. She who is the entire family of desires. She who dissolves the subtle body into the causal body. She who is all of Maya, what can be perceived through the senses, conceived in the mind, or known through intuition and beyond. She who is the ultimate respect, the perfect perception of peace in the mind and peace in the heart. These are known as the 100 names of the foremost goddess, she who takes away the darkness, that begin with the letter Ka. All of the names begin with the letter Ka. By means of these mantras, the fear of time is destroyed, and one attains union with the intrinsic nature of the form of she who takes away the darkness, the most excellent manifested cause. If these mantras are recited at the time of worship, with the mind fully concentrated upon she who takes away the darkness,
she who takes away the darkness becomes pleased and bestows
the attainment of perfection. By practicing according to the instructions of the guru, one will gain knowledge and intelligence, wealth, fame, and become a compassionate giver. The children and grandchildren of such a spiritual seeker delight in the happiness derived from imperishable qualities. Whoever will worship on the Tuesday night of the new moon, offering the five principles to the great foremost, she who takes away the darkness, the supreme goddess of the three worlds, and recite these 100 names actually becomes the manifestation of she who takes away the darkness and knows no obstacles from anywhere in the three worlds. In knowledge, one actually becomes the lord of vibrations. And in wealth, the lord of wealth. In equipoise, like the sea, and in the strength, like the wind. One shines with the radiance of the sun, yet displays the cooling rays of the moon. In form, one displays the image of the god of love, capturing the hearts of all. Who sings this song is always victorious. Wherever desires are pursued, this song should be loudly sung. Wherever desires are fulfilled, it is the grace of the respected foremost. In battle, in wealthy families, in gambling, in any dispute or life-threatening circumstance, in the hands of robbers, a burning village, confronted by lions or tigers, in the forest or a lonely desert, in fear of the planets or an angry king, burning with fever, in long periods of infirmity, or in great illnesses that place life in danger, in the sicknesses of children caused by planetary influences upon seeing a bad dream, when sinking in boundless waters or tossed about in a boat by the winds, whoever recites these 100 names with strong devotion will remember the supreme measurement of consciousness, greater than the greatest, the foremost, she who takes away the darkness. Truly, without a doubt, the goddess will remove all dangers. No fear from sin, nor disease, nor any other fear will be experienced. For such a one, there is always victory and never defeat. Even at the mere vision of such a person, all difficulties flee. That person expounds upon all scriptures and always enjoys good fortune. That person performs the highest ideals of living beings and becomes respected as a being of wisdom. The goddess of speech dwells in such a person's mouth, and the goddess of wealth in that person's home. Men bow with respect at the mention of that person's name. Such a person compares the 8 occult powers, such as making oneself small, etc. Anima lagima lagima apti prakamya and anima lagima aishvarya. Okay, we've got them. Such a person compares the 8 occult powers, such as making oneself small, etc., the value of grass. How much grass did you cut today?
Quite a bit.
Quite a bit? That's the value, the same value has all the occult powers that you could attain when compared with having the goddess live with you. These 100 names are known as the intrinsic nature of the foremost she who takes away the darkness. For the perfection of these mantras in the fire sacrifice, they should be sung 108 times. The full offering of this song yields the fruit of all desires. So if you do this 108 times in the fire with swaha after every verse, that's the purushcharanvidhi. This hymn of 100 names is the intrinsic excellent essence of the foremost, she who takes away the darkness. Whoever will recite it or cause it to be recited, whoever will listen to it or cause it to be heard, will be freed from all sin and will attain to union with the Supreme Divinity. Oh, any questions? Please.
Is the fear of time that will cause us to act?
Well, there are many forms of the fear of time. Mostly the fear of time is concerned with death. Because most people are afraid that time is going by and then what's going to happen. So Mahakal, the great time, is also a name of Shiva as the one who takes people beyond. So really the fear of time, of course, many of us know, just ask Mitra, he's an expert on it. He's always busy. Because he's afraid the time's passing too fast. How many of us look at our schedule of things to do, and we're trying to do so much so quickly because of time? Look at the clock watchers in your offices and see how the clock watchers fear it'll never pass. And then other people get so involved in their work that they forget about the passage of time. Priya gave me a project at 2 o'clock in the morning the other night. Thank you. So the fear of time has many forms. But all of us understand how many times, in how many ways we ourselves are afraid of. Afraid we won't get finished on time. Are we afraid we'll get finished too early? Many forms it takes. Are there other questions about the 108 names? Yes, Prinkas.
Hum is called the Kurcha.
Kurcha Bija, hum.
What is Kurcha?
Kurcha is the weapon of purity. And it means, hum means cut the ego. It's the weapon of purity, Kurcha. Other questions? Please, sit down.
What's the deal with the musk?
The musk. You know how attached the deer is to the musk in his belly button?
No.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry. You hang out in the jungle for a while, you see a lot of deer going crazy over a scent that's coming from their own body.
And they can't even find the scent. They can't find the cause of the scent, and it intoxicates them.
And it's just like that's the musk in the belly button of the deer.
I think everybody has that.
Well, some of us got a little more, some a little less. But there's a scent in the deer that he exudes or she exudes herself. And that's the scent of musk. And they go around looking for the source of the musk. There's a very famous parable in Sanskrit called Akanti Chamarak, and it's the gold on the neck. Everyone is looking for the golden necklace, and you forget that you're wearing it yourself. That's the last place I would think to look. How would it be around my neck? It's the same with the musk of the deer, the same parable. The deer is intoxicated by the scent, and he goes around searching for the source of the scent, and wherever he goes, the scent goes with him. They make an incense with musk, and it's also used as a condiment in some cooking dishes. So that's what the musk is symbolizing. Please.
What about the kadamba tree?
The kadamba tree is a fruit tree that grows wild all over India. What would you call it in English, Chaitan? Yeah, namaste.
Rook,
do you have an idea?
Big flower.
It's got a big flower and a big fruit. Yeah.
Very beautiful.
Yes, many of her names, she's like the fruit of a kadamba tree. She's like...
Straight. Leave her this way, straight.
It's a straight tree. It gives a delicious fruit. It's a... let's find where she is.
Flower.
Big number. Which number?
Well, it's 32.
Thank you. That's fine. Here, kadamba trees. Oh, so she dwells in the forest and roams in the forest of kadamba, and she's satisfied with the flowers of kadamba, and she wears a garland of the flowers of kadamba tree. So those are some of the things. She loves the plant. Yes. Well, it's an extremely auspicious plant. She enjoys the nectar of the kadamba fruit.
Krishna always dances under kadamba tree.
Who?
Krishna.
Krishna.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know the name of it in English.
I can find out.
Do we have it here?
I've never seen it here.
No, American.
Yeah, but it's a big fruit, and it's very juicy and very sweet. And the flowers are very fragrant. I don't know if that describes it enough. I'll give you a Latin name if you want. Thank you. Are there other questions? Yes, please.
I just have various things that were offered to Kali that you just conglomerated and just put it together? Or was it set up originally like this in some?
No, it is a compilation.
I took the regular Kali puja from the Kali Kapuran, and I added to it the thousand names, which also came from Kali Kapuran. I added
The Vidhi, the Puja Vidhi from Purohit Darpan, the handbook for priests. But it all has scriptural reference. I didn't write any of the mantras. But if you look in any text specifically for this entire compilation, you won't find it. You'll have to come to the Devi Mandir. Are there other questions? Okay, remember Kali. Kal means darkness. Kali takes away all the darkness. That's why she's dark herself. She's taken away all our darkness, all our negativities, all our perplexity. She's made us free. She illuminated the inner light. And that's why she dances on the stage of consciousness. She's Mother Nature personified. And everything we witness is a vision of the dance of nature on the stage of consciousness. When we remember that we are consciousness. And we're acting according to our watching, witnessing the act of our nature. Yes, please.
Swamiji, why, if it's 100 names of Kali, are there 101 names?
You know, we have many issues about counting in Sanskrit. So I wouldn't get too attached to the count. There are some names. It says 100 names, but 100 names could mean many names, or it could mean 108 names, or it could mean 101 names, or it could mean really 100 names. They're not so precise as we try to be. Remember, this scripture is about 3,000 years old. These mantras compiled from over 3,000 years old. They weren't so precise and, you know, that it's exactly 100 or 101 or 108, all the sacred numbers. So 100 is a generic term which means many. And also 100,000, a lakh. It doesn't mean exactly 100,000. You'll have to sit there and count for a long time. Other questions?
Is there a reason you choose to do the 100 names versus 1,000 names?
No, I use the 100 names as a preface, 1,000 names. I didn't want to leave anybody out. Now remember, just as one woman is mother to her child and wife to her husband, and she's a cook and a cleaner and a chauffeur and a psychiatrist and many other things. And when she goes to a fancy affair, she wears a fancy dress. And when she goes to a temple, she wears blue jeans. When she goes to play tennis, she wears a tennis suit. And when she goes to swim, she wears a swimming suit. In the same way, one God wears different forms according to the different relationships that we have with her. And it could be her or it could be him. It's still talking about the one divinity. Sometimes we call her she who takes away the darkness. Sometimes we call her she who illuminates the light. Just depends on our point of view. Sometimes we call her she who is pure, and sometimes we call her by many different names. It's still the one divinity. So now we have 100 names for the one divinity, we have 1,000 names for the one divinity, and then we have several thousand names for the one divinity. It's still talking about the one God.
But this is the 100 names that are related to the words starting with
Ka. Yes.
So it has a specific reason for starting with
Ka. Yes, because that's the letter that with which Kali's name starts. So they took the name Kali, the reliever of darkness, and put together 100 names that start with Ka in a perfect Anushtup Chanda, in the meter, and in the rhyme. And it's really a remarkable document because every name starts with the letter Ka. It has the proper amount of syllables to fit into the rhythm, and it has the rhyme and the matching endings on the end of every verse. So it's quite a literary composition. Because each word starts with the same letter, and it means something different.
Do we know who first put this piece together?
You did.
I forgot.
Thank you very kind. Thank you very much for putting it together. The true you put this together.
So it was just a cognition?
Yes, it was a cognition. And it's impossible to ascribe authorship. All of the Puranas are said to be authored by Veda Vyas. But remember, Vyas means author of 1,000 verses. Anyone who wrote 1,000 verses is Vyas. And you remember many of the temples that we sat in when we went to India, and I started chanting and reading and translating, people came up and said, Vyasji, namaste. So Vyas is a living tradition. Anyone who's written 1,000 verses gets to be Vyas. So it's impossible to determine, you know, specifically which Vyas they were talking about, in the absence of which Siddhananda can take credit for the entire composition. Any other questions or topics for gossip? Or
sure.
Yes.
Regarding the parable of the gold necklace.
Yes.
What is the relationship between an aspirin intuiting, yes, I am wearing a gold necklace, and at the same time recognizing that there are beings whose perhaps their necklace is brighter or bigger, and the need to purify, see that the necklace is there?
Well, the fact that you recognize that you have the golden necklace doesn't preclude your performing sadhana. It doesn't eliminate the necessity to perform your spiritual discipline. You continue, because you know you have the golden necklace, you want to continue to do your spiritual practices, even more efficiently and more sincerely, with greater devotion and dedication and regularity. The very fact that you recognize that you are wearing the golden necklace, there are only two people that would want to do the spiritual discipline, someone who's looking for the golden necklace and someone who knows they've got it. Either way, you want to continue your discipline because the discipline makes your necklace shine. And it reminds you all the time that I'm not impoverished. I've got the wealth of love and the wealth of light and the wealth of joy in my heart. And the scent of musk is in my belly button. And the golden chain is on my neck. And wherever I go, I am confident that I can accomplish my objective. So now once you have that feeling, you want to do as much spiritual discipline as you possibly can to enhance the feeling and make the necklace shine brighter and brighter and brighter. Put out that attitude and communicate it to everyone you come in contact with.
So whenever I'm interacting with another and I start to think, you know, my necklace is a lot nicer than that guy, that self-conceit.
Yes.
And when I think, poor pitiful me, this other fellow has such a beautiful necklace, I'll never have a necklace like that. That is self-deprecation.
Right. And that's the story of Harchandi, who cuts down self-conceit and self-deprecation. So that's all that's left is the self.
In the moment, I understand sitting in asana, chanting the chandi, in the moment when self-conceit or self-deprecation are attacking,
yeah,
how does one respond?
The most prudent thing would be to stop and don't react, because the reaction is going to create a bigger mess that you're going to end up spending a long time cleaning up. But if you would stop and call upon the Divine Mother, either silently or mentally or loudly, if the circumstance permits, she will give you a moment, an interlude, between the stimulus and the response. Just one moment is all it takes to discriminate. What's the proper response? What do I want to get from this situation? Do I want to demonstrate my self-conceit or my self-deprecation? Or do I just want to share the love of the self? Once we have that moment of discrimination, then we can control our actions and reactions in the world. How many times are we confronted with a circumstance and already we're ready to respond before we even thought, is this the appropriate response or not? And every time we do, doesn't that make so many more difficulties for ourselves? Without utilizing the faculty of discrimination, we have an emotional response and we want to demonstrate that we have righteous anger or we have right on our side. That's not necessarily what we want to get from the situation. And that's why it's necessary to put that moment of discrimination between the stimulus and the response. Because when we start responding automatically, we could create a humongous mess for ourselves. You know, just one wrong word and you lose a friend. And we don't want to do that. How easy it is to blow it. So what this is training us to do is to utilize these tools to put a moment of discrimination between the stimulus and the response. And I don't have to think about what I'm saying while you're talking, how I'm going to respond. Let me listen to what you have to say first, and then think about what I want to say in reply. How many of us, when people are speaking with us, before they finish their sentence, we're already preparing our rebuttal? Can you imagine? I mean, and we're spiritual seekers. And in the world, how many people are doing that? Before the other person has even finished their sentence, they're already preparing their reply without even putting a moment of discrimination in between to think, is this an appropriate reply or not? You ever walk on a construction site and see hammers flying? I'm sure many carpenters have, because there was a lack of discrimination. They didn't put that interlude between the stimulus and the response. And that's caused by self-conceit that says, you can't talk that way to me. Wait, we haven't even finished the sentence yet. How do you know which way we're talking? So the most appropriate thing would be to listen completely and then think about what's appropriate to respond. You'll find that we have so many fewer messes to go back and clean up. It makes life so much more efficient. Because how much time do we spend going back to correct mistakes? Every mistake that we made was a lapse of attention. Nobody planned to make a mistake. You just forgot to pay attention. And how much time and how many resources do we have to allocate to going back to correct the mistakes? And that's true spiritually. It's true socially. It's true economically. It's true. It's a true fact of every aspect of our lives. Every mistake that any of us make is because of a lapse of attention. Now, if we could practice focusing our attention, we can achieve a degree of efficiency that we're not always going back to clean up the past. And that's what the study and practice of the scriptures are trying to teach us, how to make ourselves present in the moment. So we have full faculties and we have the capacity to channel our focus our attention to the exclusion of delusion so that we achieve that optimum efficiency in every action that we perform. And that's called sadhu. Sadhu is someone who's efficient. They're efficient in their relationships, they're efficient in their communities, they're efficient in their economics. They are efficient in every aspect of life. That's sadhu. And that's what we're all aspiring to become, efficient in everything we do. And that's why we're studying the words of other efficient beings who achieved such a degree of efficiency, they united with God. And history called them beings of wisdom. And passed down their words from generation to generation for thousands of years and said, study this. This is what we did to achieve that degree of efficiency. That degree of efficiency so that when we felt love, we were totally there in the love. We weren't thinking of any ulterior motive. We were just totally consumed by our love. When we were studying, we were totally involved in our study so that we lost the fear of time. Didn't even remember the time. And remember, focusing attention is the only way we learn. Focusing attention is the only way we respect. Focusing attention is the only way we love. Focusing attention is the only way we worship. The practice of meditation is the practice of focusing our attention. And through practicing meditation exercises, we learn how to learn. We learn how to respect. We learn how to love. We learn how to worship. We learn how to commune and become one with every objective in our life. Whatever we focus our attention upon, whether it be our beloved or our work, children, or our community, or our families, that's our objective. So controlling that self-conceit and controlling that self-deprecation and putting that interlude between stimulus and response is going to give you the capacity to discriminate. What do I want from this situation? And maybe it's better to say, okay, you're right now. We'll talk about it later. Namaste. Om Sang Saraswati Namaha.